You're listening to the Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland podcast. Now, your weekly message from Pastor Tim McLaughlin.
Praise God. It is so good to be with you today. Thank you again for continuing to listen to our podcast here at Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland. This is Pastor Tim McLaughlin. I want to share with you today, if you have your Bible, go with me to Psalm 27, verse number 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. And as always, if you're listening, you're driving down the road, maybe you're on your treadmill, you can't reach your Bible, that's okay. I'm going to read the scripture to you. Just let it get into your heart. Let it become part of you today. The Word of God is rich and powerful. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Father, I just pray that You'd be with us as we share this word. Father, that Your will be accomplished. Lord, let me speak that which I believe You've laid on my heart, and give those that are listening ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 27, I just love studying, not just the Psalms, they're so poetic, they're songs, but studying the history of the Psalms. Who wrote them? When did they write them? What was the occasion by which they were written? And especially when you read the Psalms of David, there's so much history, so much of a backdrop behind the Psalms. Psalm 27, again, was believed to have been written by King David in his old age, in the prime of his life. Let's look at real quickly King David, and many of you know, some may not know that are listening, you've not read your Bible through, and maybe you don't know everything about King David. So real quickly, David was anointed by the prophet Saul at the age of, 16 or 17, many scholars believe. 1 Samuel 16:12 says, "So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Samuel went looking for the next king, the second king. Saul was king, and he had turned his back on God. He had defied all that God had said. And God sent the prophet Samuel out. He said, "Go to the home of Jesse, and I will tell you who's going to be the next king." And as Samuel walked down and looked at all of Jesse's sons, many that were good looking, many that were tall, many that were probably well built, God told the prophet Samuel, He said, "It's none of these, because you're looking through outward eyes. I'm looking into their heart." And so the prophet asked Jesse, he said, "Do you have another son?" And he said, "Yes, he's out in the field." And he said, "Send for him." So they sent for him. And as he came, the Bible says in verse 12 that he was ruddy, but yet his eyes were bright. And then he arose and he anointed him to be the next king. I love that. The Bible says David's eyes were bright. In his youth, without sin, his eyes were bright, and he was without pride or fault. Shortly after this is the famous story of David slaying the giant Goliath, and David trusted in God. This is the reason that he was able to slay this giant. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 and 46 says, "Then David said to the Philistines, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand.'" Who was it that David was trusting to deliver this giant Philistine, 11 foot tall, into his hands? David was trusting in the Lord. David was still in his youth. His eyes were bright, and his faith was in the God of Israel. And then at the age of 30, David was anointed king of Israel. Now we know that again, 16:17, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel, but yet Saul was still king for probably another 13 years. until after his death on the battlefield, and then David assembled. First he was king over just Judah, and then shortly after that he was anointed as king over all Israel. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3 through 4 says, "Therefore all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years." The same David whose eyes were bright and fixed on the Lord became the second king of Israel and the king that would be the lineage of Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Messiah, the one true king. It was out of this David that later on Jesus would come from this lineage. So I guess that means that King David was perfect, right? Not even close. Not even close. David had made so many mistakes. 2 Samuel chapter 6 says that David got in a hurry and he did not seek the Lord, and he began to move the ark of God. And because of David's impatience, an innocent man died. An innocent man named Uzzah died, and David became angry with God. 2 Samuel 6 verse 7 says, "Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day." Has anyone ever become angry with God and then realized later that it was just your fault? I mean, I can tell you that I am. I'll just be honest. I've been angry with God many times, and many times God had nothing to do with what had happened and why I was angry. David, in his impatience, his motives were good, but he did not seek God. He did not seek God's wisdom. He did not seek God's knowledge. He did not seek what it was that the Lord wanted. So they got ready to move the ark of God. And because he didn't seek God, he put it up on a trailer. And as they were moving it on this trailer that was being pulled by an ox, the trailer began to shift because of the bumpy roads. And Uzzah, thinking he wasn't doing anything wrong, trying to protect the ark, reached up and placed his hand on the ark. And because of that, the anger of the Lord was aroused against him, and he dropped dead right there. And because this man dropped dead and he didn't really do anything wrong according to what David thought, David became angry with God, and he found the nearest house right there, Obed-Edom's house, and he put the ark of God in Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom was blessed, and it was not too long after that David then did seek God and realized that the proper way to move it was with the poles and with the priest, because that was the way that God had already ordained it to be moved that way. See, if David would have just sought the Lord, Uzzah wouldn't have died, and David wouldn't have been angry with God. But then we go on and we read in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that David has an affair with Bathsheba. And because of this affair that he had, one of David's top soldiers, lost his life, and also an innocent child, David's son, lost his life. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from your house," that's key, "the sword shall not depart from your house because you have despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." Then in verse 14 of that same chapter says, "However, because of this deed, because of this sin, because of this adultery that David had committed," the Bible says, "you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you and Bathsheba shall surely die." Because of David's sin, because David did not seek the Lord, because David was not doing what God told him to do, he committed this affair with this married woman, then had her husband, which was one of David's top soldiers, had him murdered. Bathsheba, being pregnant, then also lost this child. God took that child. And also, because of this same sin, it later cost David two other sons. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, Absalom, David's oldest son, murdered Ammon, one of David's other sons, because this Ammon raped David's daughter, Absalom's sister. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 18, Absalom himself was then killed by David's soldiers because of his rebellion against the king and against the kingdom. Let me just ask you, what has your sin cost you? David's sin cost him a friend. David's sin cost him 3 children. What has your sin cost you? Romans 6:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all missed it. We all, like King David, have allowed pride, selfishness, arrogance, and the desires of this world to cause us to sin. But we always miss, if you keep on reading here in Romans chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed." See, in verse 23 it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We, like David, have missed it. But then he goes on and says, but we have been justified freely by His grace through redemption. Through the blood of Jesus, He has passed over our sins that were previously committed. See, God, just like in Exodus, because the blood was applied, the Passover angel passed through, and none of the children of Israel who had the blood applied to their doorpost lost anything. Pharaoh lost his son. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when the blood has been applied, then the death angel passes over and the sins of ours that were previously committed are washed in the blood, and God no longer looks on those. See, there was a time in all of our lives that we were without sin. Our eyes were bright, and God spoke of us as He spoke of King David. King David said in Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." See, God had great thoughts, great plans in store for David. God has great thoughts, great plans, great things in store for you and I. But because of our sin, we have lost much. Because of God's grace, we have been forgiven much. Our sin has cost us many things. God had a great thing in store for us. And when we were born and without sin and our eyes were bright, but then someplace, somewhere, some reason along the way, we got our eyes off God and we got our eyes on the things of the world and we begin to sin. But because of His grace, He has forgiven us much. After all that David had experienced, after all the victories, after the anointing, after the pain, after the loss, and yes, after the forgiveness, because he had a repentant heart, he could write this scripture in the prime of his life, Psalm 27:4. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." See, does God expect us to be perfect? He knows we're not. Does God permit us to sin? Absolutely not. But He made a way of escape and a way to cleanse us from it. So what does God want from us? What did King David learn in all of his victories and also in all of his trials that would allow him to write Psalm 27, verse 4. Number one, desire of the Lord. The word desire is the word is the same word as to inquire of the Lord. To keep us from stumbling, the Lord has made provision for you and for I to inquire of the Lord. It's called prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." God made a way for you and I to commune with Him through prayer, to inquire of the Lord. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Uzzah would not have been killed. David would not have committed adultery. His children would not have had to die if he would have just asked of the Lord. May we never again proceed in our own knowledge, but always inquire of the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Listen, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything I'm supposed to. I make mistakes every day. You and I both are not perfect. But if we would just ask of the Lord, before we do anything, if we would just desire of the Lord and spend time with Him, God will tell us. He said, ask of the Lord. Number two, dwell in His presence. Dwell in His presence. The word dwell means to remain or to abide. See, God doesn't desire for us to just come to Him and repent, get saved, go back out and sin, come back, repent, get saved, go back out and sin, come back, repent. That's not God's best. God desires that we would remain in His love, that we would abide in His goodness and in His presence. God desires that we would repent, get saved, and then dwell in His presence. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." When in Christ we repent and remain, we will bear much fruit. Our life will be one of blessing, not always perfect, but in Christ always beneficial. Let me say that again. When we are in Christ, when we repent and remain, we will bear much fruit. Our life will be one of blessing, not always perfect, but in Christ always beneficial. How do we bear fruit and live a beneficial life? When we learn to walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6 said, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." How? By dwelling in His presence. When we spend time in God's presence, we will learn to ask, we will learn to remain, and we will learn to walk in His presence. Then number three, David learned to seek Him. David said in Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" We need to quit seeking acceptance of the world. Quit seeking what man has for you and I. Seek the face, the heart, the approval, and all that God has for you and I from our Heavenly Father. 2 Chronicles 22:19 says, "Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." I want to challenge you, to each and every one of you. If you're not saved today, today is the day of salvation. Ask Him to save you. Then remain in Him and seek His presence. If you are saved, then Jesus told the woman caught in the act of adultery, "Go and sin no more." If you're saved today, do just as Jesus told her, "Go and sin no more." Remain in Him, seek His face and His ways. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." King David was not perfect, and neither are we. David sinned, and so have we. David asked for forgiveness. Have you? David made God the Lord of his life. Have you? David prayed. Will you pray? "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you that it's rich. And I pray, Father, that we can learn from King David. The Apostle Paul said in Acts that David was a man after God's own heart. Even though he sinned, even though he got his eyes off of God, because of his repentance, because of his heart, he got his mind back on God, and he understood that he needed to seek God. He needed to remain with him and always inquire of the Lord for everything that he did. May we learn this, live this, do these things. If there's anyone listening that has not made Jesus Christ Lord of their life, I pray that today is that day. And for those of us that have asked Jesus to be Lord of our life, may we walk in him. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more about this ministry or consider supporting, visit us at teenchallengeuc.org.